The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. Hopefully you're listening. And if you want to give me a call, we have five open lines, wide open, 877-207-2276. So give me a call. I want to hear from you. And if you're new to the show or not curious or not sure what the show's about, answer questions on biblical theology, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam, evolution, the occult, UFOs, what we talk about, all kinds of stuff that we talk about, and more a little bit about politics and COVID, and been doing a lot of research on that latter topic there quite a bit. For the website, carm.org, carm.org, and I want you to give me a call, folks. So it's a Friday. Often Fridays are slow. Now is the time to give me a call, okay? So if you want to do that, 877-207-2276. All right. Why don't we just jump right on the phones here, and let's get to Jamal.
Hey, Jake.
Jamal. Hey, man, you're on the air, buddy. What do you got?
Okay, all right. That was quick.
That's all right.
I hope you're doing all right. I wanted to ask about some apologetic materials so we can kind of start our own apologetics group.
Okay. So the goal is to learn how to defend and to defend the faith. And do you want to be aggressive and you go after groups that are non-Christian, or do you want to just be defensive? So just curious.
I was ready for that question.
Okay.
I'll go up your recommendation. I don't mind either one, but okay. What do you recommend? Defensive or both?
Yes, both. Because the Bible is, we go after lies and we defend the truth. And so if you're always on the defense, you're always on the weakened, so to speak, side. But even in the defense, you will get aggressive. And I don't mean it in a negative way, but you'll have to go positive and say, well, right. I'm sorry, but your position is wrong because. So what I would do if I were you is if you want to do a group, an apologetics, you better know your theology. And that would be the first thing I would say you've got to learn. And then the second thing is logic. Okay? So you need to know your theology. You need to know logic. And some argumentation principles. So let me ask you a question here. Let me just run a few questions by you and test you really fast, okay?
Nope. All right? Uh-oh. All right. Okay. I'll try to do my best.
Okay. All right. So is Jesus a man right now?
Is he a man right now?
Right now.
I heard this one before.
Okay.
I would say yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the fact that you took so long to answer—that's not a good sign. All right, so you gotta be able to say yes, he is. And are we justified by faith alone, or by faith and baptism?
I do know this: we are justified by faith alone.
Faith alone, very good. You know what justification is?
Okay. Not exactly. But,
all right. Okay.
I do know about the five solas stuff.
Okay. Now, so that you're telling me where you're at, and so it's a good thing, seriously, it's a good thing that you want to do apologetics, but you're going to have to learn, okay? I'm sorry, but it's just the way it is.
Yes,
you know, I'm just getting on you.
And, no problem.
Okay, so you have to know your theology. So I know my theology very well. I know philosophy. I know logic. You have to learn about all kinds of topics. Now, I've been doing this for 41 years, okay? So if you're going to start out, I would really, just at the risk of being narcissistic here, I'd recommend that you go to CARM and you look up, for one thing, the Apologetics Dialogues. And you go through them and you read, because I've made commentaries through a lot of them, and you'll see where I made mistakes and you'll see where I did things right. Because a lot of them are years older than I'm learning. But you must know your theology. You absolutely must, because you have to defend the truth. So you have to be able to, very quickly, and be able to articulate what is the Trinity, the hypostatic union, the communicatio idiomatum,
right.
the economic trinity, the ontological trinity, monotheism, justification, imputation, propitiation, sanctification, and be able to know how they relate to each other. Once you get those basic ones down, you'll then have a good founding of what the Christian faith is, because you need to refute error, but in order to do that, you got to teach the truth. It also helps
right.
if you can do something like this, you know, and so justification is a legal declaration of righteousness. You can discover that through Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, particularly in verse 5, the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. You can go to Romans 5, 1, which says, having therefore been justified by faith. So you have to be able to quote verses and the references. And this takes
right.
time to learn how to do that. So, now you said you got a team or a bunch of guys who want to learn this stuff, right? Want to do this? Is that what you said?
No.
No?
We have a Bible study.
Okay.
No, yeah, we don't. It's just something I'm kind of, you know, floating around. I'm
All right.
not a leader of this Bible study.
Ah.
You know, we meet and, you know, we go over the Bible study like a regular Bible
okay.
study. But, you know, I said, okay, to the leader, how do you guys, or how do you, as a leader, feel about having a separate apologetics class? And
uh-huh.
he was, you know, receptive to that idea,
okay.
but we didn't pursue it any further. So,
right.
you know,
I misunderstood
I'm kind of, you know, taking a bull by the horns, trying to get things started on my own.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, when I get things started, then I can be like, all right, guys, you know, here's a video we can watch, or here's some handouts we can, you know, go over.
I gotcha.
Over
all right. All right. So, okay, I misunderstood you a little bit, but that's okay.
Okay.
You can go to the schools on CARM and sign up for those. That's one thing. And if you, you know, we charge for them. But
okay.
if you just don't have the money, you just email us and say, don't have the money, can you please give them to me for free? And we don't ask questions. We just give you access. But that's one
okay.
thing. And you can go, what I would really seriously recommend you do is if you want to do apologetics and have a class on it, just write down first theology, second logic. And because theology means scripture. Okay? You have to know this.
First theology and
then logic. All right? These are the
okay.
two things you're going to need to know. And you have to know your theology, like what is the hypostatic union? That's theology, that Jesus has
uh-huh.
two natures. Where do you find that in Scripture? Well, Colossians 2:9, John 1:1 through 14, Hebrews 1:8. And so you know, these I do this all the time, so I have these memorized. But you need to have those issues answered so that you can then discuss
okay.
them. You can discuss them, and that's okay, you know, and because you got to learn, and that's how it is.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I would recommend that, and then you got to study logic, and I would recommend that what you do is you study logical fallacies. You
okay.
go to CARM and look them up. There's like 10, 15, something like that, you know, like the fallacy of equivocation, you know, the fallacy poisoning the well fallacy, genetic fallacy. You need to know these because, believe it or not, if you get both of these down, theology with scripture and logic, you'll be able to really defend the faith well. It really doesn't take that much.
Yeah, that's the reason why I'm calling, because I've heard some of your debates, and you know, you mix in logic along with the scripture quite
mm-hmm.
beautifully, and I'm like, well, if anybody's going to help me out, you know, starting out an apologetics group is going to be that's lit. So
that's
what
right.
I'm calling. And everything that you're saying is lining up, and I appreciate your help with that.
Good. Well, that's because I'm so slick that I can help you out, because, you know, I'm probably the slickest guy you know. And, you know, yeah, that's right. Remember once I told that to somebody once, and some guy was listening, he goes, you're an arrogant jerk, and he walked off. I go, no, it's my name. He goes, yeah, get away from me. So I remember that was kind of funny. But also, if you want to do this, if you really want to have something to do, you could have your Bible study group, and you could have me on the phone or a Zoom call, and then
oh, wow.
I could give them a hard time. And then that way, you know, after they're done crying, then, you know, you'll have a lot of of time to patch things up and, you know, pat him on the back and say, it's okay, it's all right, you know. Just stuff like that. You have plenty to do after that, you know. So right. That's an option, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that was one thing I was really hoping that through one way or one time or another that,
sure.
you know, could happen to get you on the phone.
Absolutely.
Do I email you that to set that up?
No, you have to mail me a $100 bill attached to a note. No, you just email. You just email, man. You just email at info@carm.org.
Oh,
hey,
okay.
You know, Matt said he'd come out, you know, do this, and we just arranged it ahead of time and just come on the air with you, and that's it. No big deal. I do it every now and then with people's Bible studies. No, that's no sweat.
Okay, I was going to send you an IOU to the mail or something like that.
No, it's all good, man. It's all good. Just you laugh at my stupid jokes, so that's good enough, you know. That's all good right there. So,
good,
all right.
Yeah. Good deal. So just to do a quick recap, go to CARM and look up, let's see, I have CARM Apologetics, Legal Fallacies,
Logical Fallacies. Logical Fallacies, and look up the theology. You just got to know your theology. And you'll notice my articles have a lot of scripture references, and you go to those references. To learn apologetics is hard. It's not easy. But you can do a little bit at a time. It's like chewing a steak. It's like, oh, it's a good steak. Man, it's going to take me a while to get this baby down, but it's worth it. Oh, yeah. That's just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right. And just to confirm, to send that thing where we maybe get you on the phone or something like that, you did say to email you about that?
Yeah, just email us on at info@carm. We have people go through the emails, and then they put things on my calendar. And so we just arrange things like that. Like, I'm pretty busy, but, you know, there's always a day free or whatever it is, and stuff like that. We just arrange it. Okay?
All right, good deal. Thank you once again for the Matt Slick.
All right, Jamal. It's all good, buddy.
All right, okay. God bless.
All right, man. God bless. All right, cool. All right, let's get to Christian from Des Moines, Iowa. And we lost him. Hope he didn't get raptured, because that would be bad for me. Let's talk to Chuck from Burlington, North Carolina. Chuck, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Matt, for taking my call. Matt,
sure.
You know, I was just curious what your opinion is on the spiritual thirst for the Lord in the country. I mean, it's a great thing to listen. When I love to listen to your program and the young people calling up and their thirst for God and wanting to know. It's just wonderful, you know. It's a great thing. And I'm sure you feel great about it after talking for an hour, you know, and helping those folks. I just heard the end of David Jeremiah's sermon, and the Gideons, the 91% of the hotels would take them, you know, the Bibles. And I think it was even more than that. Well, now it's down to the 40.
Yeah. That makes sense.
40 percentile.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's terrible, you know.
Yes,
awful.
It is. Uh-huh.
It is awful. It's a shame. It's scary.
Yes,
very
it is.
Scary.
So, do you have a question very related scary. To that, or you know. just commenting?
No, that's just what I was going to say.
Okay.
You know,
well, why do you think
you
that is?
Any commentary on?
Sure. I could, you know, Gee, I could have. Well, why
it's
do
hard
you
for me to know, but I'll tell you my bottom line.
Uh-oh, you can't now because there's a break. Hold on. We got a break, buddy.
Okay.
Now, when we get back, you tell me what you think the reason is, and I'll comment on that, too, okay? All right,
yes,
buddy,
sir.
Hold on. Hey, folks, two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We have two open lines, 877-207-2276. Chuck, are you still there?
Yes, sir, Matt. My belief is that the wickedness of men's hearts rejecting the Lord. They are saying no to God. Such as, an example, I'm sitting outside looking at the trees and the water here and everything. That's a continuous witness of the Lord that people mm-hmm. see every day. You know, New York City, you don't see it where my daughter lives, but but it's a rejection of God by people. It's their hard hearts. It's their that's what I think.
Yeah, I agree. And I would add that creature comforts mean that we don't depend on God. We depend on our job and our
money. Yeah.
And the culture provides instant gratification in sinful areas, and so that makes
great,
it easier.
Great point, great.
And yeah, and I believe that there's a lot of, or I suspect that there's some actual working in higher up areas to destroy our country from within, because Russia said
there
they would
is.
Do that to
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
And they even said how they would do it. And it's been in, and their,
yeah.
their list of plans has worked. So something's up. And plus, God said there's going to be a general apostasy. People are going to turn their hearts away from God. The Christian church lives in a comfortable world. And so the Christian church has become narcissistic and apathetic and mostly in all areas. And they just do church on Sunday, not during the week. Now, that's not to say there aren't Christians who are fighting for the truth. And you know, but the, overall, the Christian church is not what it needs to be. So, yeah, there's problems everywhere.
Right. There used to be. There used to be like conferences and preach, you know, guys would be speaking for a week, evangelists going all over. A lot of that, huh, wasn't there years ago.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, there was a
not
lot
so
more Christianity in America. My goodness gracious. Well, thanks, Matt. You keep up the good work, brother. I listened to that fella talking to you, and okay, one more question, and it's a good one, and I think you'll like explaining it to the people hearing. Conscience, our conscience, is it given to us by God, or is it part of us? Well,
conscience,
that might be a bad question.
No, it's not a bad question at all. Our conscience is part of our makeup because we are made in the image of God, and it's the sense of right and wrong and moral propriety. This is something that belongs to God because He in Himself is perfect and holy, completely complete. And so He, we're made as image and we participate in what those attributes are. They're called the communicable attributes. He loves, we love, He hates, we hate, He thinks, we think. Mm-hmm. The attributes of God can come to us, but we don't express them perfectly. So yes, we have a conscience, not consciousness, like sentience, but a conscience, which is part and parcel of what we are. This is why unbelievers have consciences as well. But theirs is enslaved to sin, and only the Christian who's redeemed and regenerated, made born again, made new creatures, 2 Corinthians 5:17, they're the ones who have a conscience that is enlightened by God's truth. Okay?
Okay, great. Yeah. Yep, very good. Thank you, Matt, and praise the Lord.
All right, man.
Well,
God bless,
the
buddy.
Lord anyway.
Huh?
You
that's
know?
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
See you later.
Praise the Lord. Okay,
yes,
God
sir.
Bless.
Bye, Matt.
All right, let's get to Kim from Rural Hall, North Carolina. He wanted to talk about abortion, which I love talking about. I wish he'd call back or someone would call back and talk about it because I'm very much against it and love to discuss it. Alberto from Savannah, Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah. All right, we might slick.
That's me.
I want to know why the churches today speaking in tongues.
Okay, what?
Or the sign gives. Why they don't practice the sign gives or speaking in tongues on national TV? If it's God, it's not limited just on small little churches locally in different states, but why doesn't it happen on the national TV platform?
Wait. I'm not sure what you're asking.
Speaking in tongues and all that.
Wait. I'm not sure what you're asking.
Why that's
going to
happen?
Well, speaking of... Okay, first of all, there are people who say that the charismatic gifts, the sign gifts, are done. And I don't agree with them. I believe they're all for today. And that it continued, that the church has access to all of them. But doing it on national TV would be an inappropriate use. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, in the context of exercising these gifts, that it must be done with wisdom, and you'd be very, very careful before the unbelievers, lest they be stumbled. And so this is what the instructions are in 1 Corinthians 14. So a lot of people don't believe the gifts are there, and they're difficult to maintain. They're difficult to work through and with. and they generally manifest in the expansion of the gospel. And since the Christian church is not expanding the gospel here in America, it's atrophied. It just opens a church up and basically that's it. Then there's no real need for the movement of the charismatic aspect of God's work in the whole, through the Holy Spirit, like they are in third world countries and second world countries, where they trust in the Lord a lot more, and things happen. So I think that's part of the reason we have less access or less occurrence of them. But we do, I have seen on you know, some of these stupid moron wacko preachers on TV who will speak in tongues to each other, you know. And
yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, that's just a tragedy to see such stupidity from these basically these fools. So okay, I think that helps or not.
Yeah, but Hawk, another question, basically the same thing. Still, I mean, I know it's not for the unbelievers and all that, but still, you can't limit God. Okay, God, you can manifest yourself this way only in local churches and not on national TV. God's going to do what he wants to do. Let the Spirit of God, freedom of God move how he wants to move.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
that's
the question is,
today. We try to restrain God's Spirit. We don't give God's Spirit to manifest itself in churches today.
Yeah, but you got to be careful. You can't just say it has to happen this way. It just doesn't work like that. And God moves through the Spirit. We aren't the ones who just summon God and summon these gifts and say, this is heaven. Watch me now. Just speak in tongues right now. No. These are things that God uses to expand his kingdom and bring glory to him. That's how they're used in the Bible. And so that's what's going on. And because so many people don't study biblical theology, they don't know this stuff, and they make horrendously bad choices. Okay?
But I notice in church we're too much in a program setting. You know, we'll sing a couple hymns.
Yeah.
You know, in church, and then we'll talk a couple announcements in the church.
Right.
Then the preacher preaches for 30 minutes. Okay, let's go home.
There's nothing wrong
with
that.
Don't give. And, yeah, I know, but to me, I'm asking back in the '80s, churches I used to go to, Pentecostal churches back in the '80s, even they get the preacher preach and people start worshiping. Praising God.
You're talking about...
Let the Spirit of God,
Alberto,
work in the church.
Yeah, well, I don't know what you're talking about because I haven't seen it and can't comment. You're just talking about experiences, and those are hard to exegete. Okay? Hey, but man, we got a break, so we're going to move along. Okay, buddy? All right, man. God bless.
Okay.
All right. Hey, folks, three open lines, 877-207-2276. We will be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. Why don't you give me a call, all right? Three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Jason from Clayton, Utah. Hey, welcome. You're on the air.
I got a question. I'm kind of a new Christian, kind of just came out of Mormonism.
Okay.
And the more
good
Christians I meet, they say it's bad to celebrate Christmas. And then there's some Christians that say it's great to celebrate Christmas. Just a little confused on that subject.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you a question that you may not think it's related to this, but I'm going to ask you, okay? Now, you're saying you're a new Christian, so I don't know how much you know. But let's say you and I were missionaries someplace, another country, and we're hungry, and we see a temple to a pagan god upon a hill, and underneath that hill, at the bottom of the hill, is a marketplace, and they're selling meat that has been sacrificed to pagan gods in that temple. Can we eat it? Can we buy it and eat it?
Why can't? Oh, I'm sorry. What was that? Did you say why can't we eat it? Or
can we eat it? What would you say? Are we able to eat it?
I would say no. It's just kind of like the COVID shot.
Well, okay, hold on. The answer is no. Now, what I want you to understand is that in in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience sake. So he's saying, Paul the Apostle is saying, this is 1 Corinthians 10, 25. He says, you can do that. You can eat it. He says, you know, for the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. If one of the unbelievers invites you and you want to go, eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, that meat is sacrificed to idols, now listen to what he says, do not eat it. For the sake of the one informed you and for conscience sake. I mean, not your own conscience, but the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? So he's saying, yeah, you can eat it, but you don't want to stumble anybody else. That's what the point's going on. So Christmas, all right. Christmas on this, yeah, that's Bible right there, 1 Corinthians 10, you can read through it. Now, Christmas...
So I got another question to ask, if you don't mind, sorry.
Well, let me finish answering your question about Christmas, okay? I'm going to tell you. Now, Christmas was, you know, is on December 25th. But the reason it is, they say it's a celebration of Jesus' birthday, but he was not born on December 25th. It was the winter solstice, which was a pagan festival in Europe. And so the Roman Catholic Church, which has since become apostate, but at any rate, what it did was it tried to sanctify that day and celebrate Christ's birthday on that day. This was the intention. And so now we know that Christmas on that day is of pagan origin. In fact, a tree, having a tree with gifts underneath it, is also a pagan origin. So can we participate in it? The answer is yes. It's the same thing as meat sacrificed to idols. But you don't want to do it if it's going to stumble anybody that you know. I mean stumble them, all right? But you're free to do it. You are free to do this and participate because you're free in Christ. You're free, but not free to sin. So your conscience has to be right before God. You say, yeah, I believe I can do this according to Scripture. Then it's not a problem. If you say you cannot, you don't believe it's a thing that's according to Scripture, you don't agree with my interpretation, which is fine, then you don't. And so this is the idea. So can you celebrate it? Yeah, you can celebrate it, as long as you're not stumbled by it and you're not stumbling anybody else. Okay?
But it is, but bottom line, it comes from pagan history.
Pagan origins.
Is that right?
Yeah, the Christmas tree does. But celebrating Jesus' birthday is not something that was done in the early New Testament. People just started doing it. Is that wrong to do that? No, I don't think it's wrong to do it. They didn't wear crosses around their chest with chains. Is that wrong? No, it's not wrong either. See, we have freedom in Christ. If you're a new Christian, you may not understand this. We are free in Christ. We're not obligated to follow certain laws that then means we're acceptable to God. You are free to do these things, but you're going to make sure that you don't do them and sin in the process. Now, in 1 Corinthians 8:7-9, however, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor better if we do. But take care lest this liberty of yours somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Now that's 1 Corinthians 8:7-9. That's where you need to focus. So you have the freedom to be able to celebrate Christmas, but you don't want to stumble anybody in the process. And so in my house, we're going to have a Christmas tree, we're going to have gifts and stuff like that. It's no problem. Okay?
I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. That's a lot. I appreciate that a lot.
Okay.
I do have another question, if you don't mind. After
sure.
That first question to ask, so about the COVID shot,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, I know there's a lot of reasons and a lot of, not to take, and then people are saying there's fine reasons to take it. So, if you know that it comes from abortion babies, kind of,
yeah.
That's kind of a different story. I'm just kind of be quick. I apologize. But anyway.
No, they were all either developed with or tested with aborted fetal material. Yep.
Okay. So that being said, with the being tested that way, is it like out of everything, so like you push everything off to the side, like, okay, you're going to have headaches for life, you're going to have a third arm. Okay, so like all those theories, just kind of push those off to the side. But the one theory with abortion babies, is that good enough just to say no? Like, to a...
It's a Yes, it's a more complicated issue than people might say. Because the aborted fetal material, from what I understand, is cloned material from a previous abortion that happened years and years and years ago. And so there's ethical questions attached to this. Can we use material from the sacrifice of a human being, particularly a defenseless one in the womb? And so we get into the issue of what's called the Nuremberg Code. Now, this is on the secular side of things, but the Nuremberg Code was developed in 1947 to try the Nazis. You know, you don't have the right to experiment on people. You don't have the right to benefit from their pain and suffering. This was the basic idea, and I agree with the principles. In the Bible, we are to learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. That's Isaiah 1:17. And there's lots of verses like this in the Bible that tells us to defend the helpless, not to sacrifice them so that we can benefit. And so it becomes an ethical issue now with Christians. Should we, can we take vaccines that were developed and or tested using human fetal material? And this becomes a question that needs to be discussed a great deal. Personally, I resist that. There's also the issue of personal freedom, which the Bible says that we have and responsibility, and the government is being draconian and oppressive in its demand that we inject into our bodies what it wants us to inject when there's no need for it, because 99.75% of the people recover from COVID with no problem, and their antibodies are at least 13 times better than any vaccine. So why is it that we're being forced to take a vaccine that has been... I'll tell you something.
Research, if you have...
I got a lot I can say, but go ahead.
Out of the research you've done, if you haven't had the COVID, would you recommend taking the vaccine?
My personal opinion, this is my personal opinion, don't take it as medical advice, I don't want to take it, I don't want to take anything. What I've researched, the Moderna one is being restricted in use by Denmark, Sweden, Finland, Norway, and Japan because of problems that it's causing. Countries are now starting to do that. And I have...
Really?
Yes. I have, and you won't find it out on the American side of news. You have to go to the equivalent of VAERS in Europe. And I've found the site, and I go through and find information. There is so much information out there. You know, how about this? Cloth masks are only 3% effective in filtering out the COVID virus. Medical masks, the medical masks, you know, those light blue ones, aqua ones, whatever, if worn properly, they're at most 50% effective. I think 47% was the best I've seen or heard. And if you touch your hand to the outside, it's now contaminated. You have to replace it. So I can tell you even more. We've got a break. I don't know if we need to hold or not. That's all right. Hold on or hang up and let me know. But we got a break. Hey, folks, four open lines, 877-207-2276. I want you to give me a call. Come on, don't leave me hanging. Give me a call. Talk to you later.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the show. We have nobody calling right now, nobody waiting. And sometime when that happens, I'll just pick a topic. Usually I'll run off the last related kind of topic that we went through. So I think I'm going to do that and read some information on COVID and stuff, some of the research I've found from peer-reviewed documents and sites. And And if you want to give me a call in the meantime, we can talk about anything. 877-207-2276. Now, of the many articles I'm kind of simultaneously developing, and just so you know, folks, what I'm going to tell you, have to understand, giving you a warning, I'm not a medically trained individual. I'm a theologian, logician, and I am not qualified to give you any medical advice. But I can tell you that I'm a researcher. I'm able to go into peer-reviewed places on the web, books and things like that, and read through and find out what they say about certain things, and then quote them. It turns out that post-COVID vaccine autoimmune inflammatory syndrome is in response to some of the vaccines. Cerebral sinus vein thrombosis also is occurring. These are from peer-reviewed things that I've got, and I'll be releasing these articles later because I haven't released what I'm telling you right now. I just haven't because I haven't, not satisfied with the length of them and some other things. Death has occurred, and this is it's occurred. Eyes, vision problems, okay, and menstrual cycle issues with women has occurred. Myocarditis is there. This is a major problem, and it's an inflammation of the myocardium or musculature of the heart. And there are lots of accounts of myocarditis in different age groups and things like that. And what I have are peer-reviewed articles. Now, peer-reviewed means that the scientists themselves review them in their peers, in their set, and they go, yep. Quote, for example, among more than 2.5 million vaccinated HCO members who were 16 years of age or older, 54 cases met the criteria for myocarditis. The estimated incidence per 100,000 persons who had received at least one dose of vaccine was 2.13 cases, or 95% confidence interval. And the highest incidence of myocarditis, which is 95%, of 10.69 cases per 100,000 persons. This is what the quote says, 95% CI, and I give this, a lot of us don't understand, but I'm just reading what it says, was reported in male patients between the age of 16 and 29 years old. This is a New England Journal of Medicine says this. So there's a certain percentage rate, 10.69 cases in 100,000 people. Some people, that's one in 10,000. Is that okay? Well, it's just a question. Is it okay to that number's permissible? Yeah, we can say it's fine. People get sick and they die out of this rate. It's a problem. Iceland bans Moderna vaccine due to heart inflammation risks. In fact, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, Norway have already limited the use of Moderna vaccine over the same concerns. So these are things, these are stuff. And here's some questions. I'm researching this, and I'll be releasing it fully documented on my website. I want people to become informed. I'm not against vaccines. You want to take a vaccine? Take a vaccine. But people need to know what's going on. But here's the, there's two main concerns. I don't want to support anything that has been developed through the killing of the unborn, and so that we benefit from the killing of the unborn. I don't, that to me is sinful. I don't want to do that. And the other thing is the control that's being used, that the vaccines, if you're vaccinated, you're okay. Now you can buy and sell. And if you're not, you'll be punished. This kind of a thing is oppressive. It's totalitarian. In our CARM weekly meeting this morning, our guy in Nigeria said that Nigeria just told everybody, just let everybody know in Nigeria, as an example, that they cannot buy gasoline or buy food or go to the doctor if they don't have their vaccination proof. Now, this is bad. This is really bad because the oppression of telling you must take a vaccine or you can't buy or sell. But the vaccines aren't nearly as effective as natural immunity. And the vaccines have to have booster shots Why do they need booster shots? Because the booster shots mean that the first shot wasn't that effective. Why, if it worked, why do you need booster shots? Well, that is true in some cases, but in other cases it's not. Because the information I've found is that, well, sometimes there are certain kinds, like tetanus. You need to have several shots over a period of time for it to become fully effective, and that's fair. So is it fair to say that we need to have the same thing with COVID vaccines? Well, I think it is fair. But the question then becomes, well, if it's rushed through and not gone through clinical trials like it's supposed to, because when they do emergency stuff, it means that they skip all kinds of procedures, which I have listed. I think it's I've released it in CARM already. If I haven't, I will. Well, then, if that's the case, then that means they've shoved it through very carefully. I mean, very quickly, without being as careful as they need to be. Then you have to ask the question, well, why are the boosters there? Because are they that effective? And what are the long-term effects of these things? I don't know. And why is it that we're being forced, especially when the government says you've got to do this and they open the border up for the illegals to come in? I've heard one reference, 20% are infected with COVID and let them into our country, and in the middle of the night, they're flying them around the United States. And I have the documentation for that too. Why is this happening? So my suspicion is that this is all being used for social control. Again, you know, I'm not against vaccines. You want to take the COVID vaccine? I know people who've taken it. Whatever. Okay. I don't care. I don't like the idea of being forced. I don't want to support aborted fetal material being used in this. I don't like the idea of the government using it to basically tell us what we can and can't do. And I don't think we should submit to that. That's what I'm having a serious concern with as well. We shouldn't submit to that kind of oppression. Because if we do, we're going to lose more and more of our rights. So this is my thing. Why do I think like this? Well, there's two reasons. One, I got bullied a lot when I was a kid, so I'm aware of bullies, okay? And I think we're being bullied. But the other thing is that as the government and the social system that is moving towards socialism needs to take control of the government and socialist powers in military. So the conservatives in the military who won't take the vaccines are being kicked out. The police force, they're being kicked out. So the ones who will comply are the ones who are more likely to do what the government tells them to do. And so this is a concern. And I've seen what the cults do. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science. I've seen how Roman Catholicism behaves in that it controls its population. There are different methods that cults use and false religions use to control their people and keep them in line. And so I see similar things in this whole procedure. This is why I'm concerned about it. This is why I'm doing research. I think there's more to it than just a I don't like a vaccine thing. I think there's more to it. But again, this is just my opinion. So there you go. Let's get to Karen from Rock Hill, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. It's actually Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Okay.
I do completely agree with you on your COVID stance. All that you said, and I continue to do my research, and I agree with you also. But the question I have is different, and I just want to ask maybe if you would do a show sometime or maybe call down a broadcast. I'm dealing with a couple of narcissistic people in my life, and I want to, yes, you laugh, so apparently you can know something about it. One is my ex-husband, and I'm really struggling with whether to pray for restoration of my marriage. But unless he is a saw that turns to a Paul, I don't think that I want that back.
Yeah.
So are you
divorced?
He did divorce me. I was taking care of my mom out of town.
Has he married anybody else?
He has not remarried, but he's had multiple relationships.
Okay, you can't go back to him. You can't go back to him. He's behaving like an unbeliever. Not to marry an unbeliever. He's divorced you, so he abandoned you. He's the one who broke his marriage covenant. He's now committing adultery, and I would not recommend at all that you go back to him, period. He would have to show serious repentance and commitment to Christ because you're not supposed to marry an unbeliever. Okay?
As I said, it's all to Paul, and I completely agree with you.
Okay.
I do believe that Christ can save him,
yep.
And
amen.
I'm not waiting on it. But I don't know how to pray about it.
Good, good for you. In that sense, you pray for restoration. That's fine. If he marries somebody else, you cannot then get remarried to him, period.
Okay, so that would be a sin if he came back and repented?
If he married somebody else, then divorced her, they got to marry to you, you can't, the scriptures, I forgot where, prevent that remarriage. Believe it or not, yeah.
Okay, but what about me remarrying?
Yeah, you can.
But doesn't the Bible say that if you, that's committing adultery until he dies? Because that was my vow.
He broke the covenant. He divorced you. So you're the injured party. You didn't break the covenant, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so you're free. All right, you're free. And so in 1 Corinthians 7, you read through that chapter in the present context, present persecution. He says that if the unbeliever goes, let him go. The believer's not bound in that circumstance. So you're not bound.
Well, if you're a believer.
He's not a believer.
He professes Christ.
So what?
Then
why is he committing fornication? And why is he doing all this if he says he's a Christian? And why would he divorce you if he says he's a Christian?
Okay.
If you say you know him and don't keep his commandments, the truth is not in you, and you're a liar, 1 John 2:4. I wouldn't call him a Christian. Because, you know, if I was facing him and he said, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I said, really? What church are you going to? And are you sleeping around with girls? Oh, yeah, you know, I follow you. Don't call yourself a Christian. Because if you are a Christian, God will kill you or discipline you.
Well, I don't see any fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is the way I was judging it. It wasn't judging it based on his sin. I was judging it based on the fruit of the Spirit. And I don't see that. So
just stay away from him in that respect. Pray for his salvation and his complete repentance. Okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
You're
welcome. Keep doing your research on COVID. I'm loving it. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. God bless. All right. Let's get to Mike from Des Moines. We lost Mike, who's on the vaccine issue. And so I want you to understand, folks, what I'm talking about with all this stuff. I'm being very, very careful because people take what I say seriously. And that's okay. But you have to, if you want to read what I've already released on COVID and what I've found, you can go to carm.org, carm.org, and /COVID, and you'll see the articles. I have a disclaimer there saying I'm not qualified to give you medical advice. This is just for information. And you do what you want with it, all right? But I'm going to continue to research this because I suspect that it's being used to control us. And that sounds conspiratorial, but the evidence sure seems to support it, doesn't it? Don't you think so? I do. And that concerns me just as much as the other issues with it. So, hey, may the Lord bless you this weekend. I hope you have a great weekend in church and your time with the Lord and with family. And by His grace, we're back on the air on Monday. We'll talk to you then. God bless everyone. See you, bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.